The country is in the eye of the storm over welfare reform right now. President Clinton and the Congress have abolished many of the federal guarantees of aid to the poor, and most states are still inventing the programs to replace them. At least one prominent demographic group thinks this is the perfect time to reconsider some old ideas about welfare and the poor. NPR's John Nielsen has this report.
So far, the debate over welfare reform has been shaped by some powerful assertions. Some Democrats have insisted that the poor are jobless because they can't find any good jobs. Some Republicans have responded by contending that the poor are simply too content with public aid. Members of both groups have seemed to assume that rates of poverty are highest among minority groups living in inner cities. As it turns out, all of these assumptions have one thing in common: they're wrong. According to a new report from the nonprofit Nonpartisan Population Reference Bureau, most poor people are now non-Hispanic whites who live in suburbs and rural areas. 88% of them eventually manage to pull themselves above the poverty line. Many of those who live below the poverty line already have jobs. Demographer William O'Hare, the author of the new study, says its basic purpose is quite simple.
To put together some fundamental information about poverty and some facts and figures from a demographic perspective that are often missing in discussions about these things, and to do it in a non-ideological, non-political way, so it would be a neutral voice in this sea of information.
O'Hare says it wasn't his intention to second-guess the decision to overhaul the federal welfare system. Instead, by poring over complicated census data, he's tried to redefine the stakes in the debate. He says the stakes are extremely high for two main reasons.
Over the last 20 years, not only has the poverty rate increased, but poor people are getting poorer.
O'Hare says the number of Americans living below the poverty line climbed to 38 million in 1994 from 23 million in 1973. Meanwhile, the number of Americans making less than $7,000 a year had risen to 15 million. Thanks to Social Security, O'Hare says rates of poverty have fallen sharply among the elderly, but the rate of child poverty has skyrocketed, rising by 50% in the last 20 years. O'Hare calls it an alarming trend which is bound to affect the American economy in the long run. Debbie Weinstein of the Children's Defense Fund agrees. She says there are all kinds of studies that link childhood poverty to bad health, bad education, and eventual joblessness.
In the long run, this means that those children are less likely to be competitive in the workforce. If all I care about is my own self-interest, I need to care about whether these children are going to grow up to be able to be productive workers, paying taxes, helping with my Social Security.
O'Hare says gaps in federal census data made it hard to put this new report together. It's a problem he thinks the federal government ought to think about solving in a hurry.
I think one of the places where they're really weak is in state-level information. And as these welfare programs and responsibility get turned back to the states, I think that one of the key questions is, some of those states will do very well and be inventive and creative and do great for poor people. Others will probably do the opposite. And I'm not sure that we have enough data at the state level to tell which states which.
I'm John Nielsen in Washington.